Thank you so much, Chris. Lovely to see you all. As Chris said, my name is Matt, and before I started on the team here just last month, I used to work for a church the other side of Bank, next to the Gherkin, and I was the children's worker for that church for many years, and one of the responsibilities was to run the kids' sessions at weekends away. Now, as you can imagine, running kids' work at a weekend away is fairly busy business, and it had its stresses, and I had my hands full. You can imagine all of the crafts that need to be prepared, the balls that need to be pumped up, the equipment that needed to be bought, the talks to write, the studies to write, the risk assessments to read, the safeguarding policies to go over, the snacks to prepare, the weather to look at, and of course, helping the other leaders with all of their bits and talk to parents about the behavior and needs of their children. It was busy work. And although fun, there was a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety. And so with everything that was going on, well, I would have my Martha moments. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Lord, I'm stressed. There's so much to do. I feel like I'm doing it alone. It feels like you don't care. I need help. My guess is that many of us have had our fair share of Martha moments too, and we may even be having one now. It's worth qualifying from the start that Martha is having her moment because she is serving the Lord. Have a look with me. She is anxious and troubled, verse 41, because she is distracted by what? In verse 40, with much serving. We're not talking about the general stresses of life that we might experience every day, the project deadlines, the year reviews, the tricky meetings, or the anxiety with family life, love life, social life, or money or health. We're talking about the anxiety which arises from our busy service of the Lord Jesus. This is busyness induced by gospel work, busyness from showing hospitality, busyness with church responsibilities, busyness in practical service, busyness with leading Bible studies, busyness with pastoral conversations, busyness with evangelistic events, busyness with church finances and mission. We're talking about the busyness in serving Jesus. Busyness which in the end leads to anxiety and feeling troubled. Think of your gospel pinch points. Where are you feeling the pressure of busy service? Where is that causing you to become anxious and troubled? For me, as I've said, running the children's work on weekends away, well, that would be fertile ground for a Martha moment. But I would come to this passage and to the Lord's Prayer, and it would be a much needed source of encouragement for me. And so my prayer is that together, as we listen to Jesus' teaching, we would find what Mary found, the good portion, and that it would be the antidote to our troubled and our anxious service. Today we're going to look at Martha and Mary, this episode, and the first word, just the first word of the Lord's Prayer. And for those now counting how many words there are in the Lord's Prayer, don't worry, we're not going to do a 35-week series on it. We're just doing one word today, and then next time we will look at the rest, the bulk of the Lord's Prayer. And I think it's important we spend lots of time in Martha and Mary, because this episode sets up the Lord's Prayer for us. And if we were to gloss over it, I think we would lose much of the significance. And so with that in mind, let's think further about Martha and Mary and the context of this episode under our first point of the handout, Faces Set on Service. Martha and Mary, this episode comes within the part of Luke's gospel called the travel narrative, where Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. The travel narrative is made up of four blocks or sections of teaching material, and the start of each block is indicated by a reminder of Jesus' journey, and its agenda is set by an opening question. We see a new section indicated at the beginning of our passage in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, they're on their way to Jerusalem. And the question answered in this section is the one asked by Martha in verse 40. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? This block is the second block of teaching material in the travel narrative. Well, from chapters 9 of Luke's Gospel, we've understood that Jesus' goal in reaching Jerusalem is to suffer, to be rejected, and to ultimately die on a cross. On the cross, Jesus will give up his life to save sinners. And if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian here today, well, I hope that you come to understand what Jesus achieved on the cross for you. The punishment that you deserve for your rejection of your Creator was taken by him, so that when we all come into judgment and give an account of our lives, well, we might receive eternal life in place of eternal death. On the cross, Jesus will give up his life to save sinners. That was his mission. That was his task, his goal. That was what he was trying to achieve, the salvation of sinners. And he was so determined in it that Luke describes him as setting his face towards Jerusalem. He's got his eyes on the prize. He's got the goal in sight. He's got tunnel vision, resolve, determination. That is his goal, and he will not be sidetracked from it. He has his face set towards Jerusalem. As I mentioned, this is the second teaching block in the travel narrative, and the first was concerned with what followers of Jesus do. And what followers of Jesus do is no surprise, you'll be able to guess, they follow Jesus. That's what they do. His mission now becomes their mission. His task becomes their task. Followers of Jesus now have their faces set on the salvation of sinners, and we serve to this end. And so let us consider the service which we are currently involved in. I think of a friend working up in Marylebone, speaking to his colleagues in the pub about Jesus after work. I think of the creche leaders who look after my son in creche on a Sunday, and the Sunday school leaders teaching the children. I think of a family friend endlessly showing hospitality to others. I think of my brother serving his family, teaching his children, loving his wife. I think of my brother-in-law serving as an elder of his church. I think of my parents, who in good times and in tight times prioritize supporting gospel work with their money. I think of my godmother serving in one of the world's most oppressed and closed countries. I think of us here holding out the gospel in our workplaces through conversations, intranet posts, invites, and more. We want the kingdom to grow. We want people to be saved. We want the lost to be found. These are lives lived for the service of Jesus, faces set on the salvation of sinners. But we know, don't we, that it is often busy and hard, and it can lead to stress and anxiety and the feeling of being troubled. And we will have our Martha moments when we cry, Lord, do you care? I need help. Well, this is the accusation that Martha puts to Jesus. You see, Martha was struggling in her service. When Jesus came to her village in verse 38, you can see that she welcomed him into her house. She has accepted Jesus and started to follow him. And so she has started to serve him. His mission has become her mission, and her particular contribution at this moment in time is to show some good Middle Eastern hospitality. In many ways, Martha is the model disciple. But serving Jesus was busy work. There was plenty to do. Bread to bake, hummus to blend, salad to chop, vegetables to cut, stew to stir, drinks to serve, The living space needs a tidy, the cushions need plumping, places need to be laid, and the bathroom could do with a clean. Jesus is teaching, but Martha, verse 40, was distracted with much serving. In and out, Martha goes. Can I take your coat, Jesus? Would you like some tea, Jesus? I'm sorry about the mess, Jesus. Pots and pans are clanging about. Steam is billowing from under the kitchen door, as is the sound of a busy kitchen. Back and forth she goes. There is much serving to do. Jesus is here. But it all begins to get a bit much. Her temperature rises, and she starts to get flustered. Picture it. In and out, back and forth, and there's no one to relieve her of her burden. She needs some help. Where is that sister of hers? Too much to do, too little time to do it in. Her heart rate rises too, and she begins to get frustrated. It doesn't feel like anyone's noticed her struggling. They can't all be so rude, surely, as to not give her a helping hand. Why has she been left to do this alone? Where is Mary? Oh, she's listening to Jesus. All very well, but why doesn't she get off her backside and come and help? Martha's tried her best, but there's too much to do, and she becomes worried that it's not all going to get done. Is anyone going to help? Does Jesus even care? After all, it is for him. Martha is having a moment. And you can picture her now having reached the end of her tether, her emotions have gotten the better of her, and she bursts in on Jesus mid-sentence. Her hair is ruffled, her face red through exasperation. She's strewn with frustration, but ultimately disappointed and upset. And the accusation comes out loud and clear, verse 40. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then, to help me. The room goes quiet, and Jesus responds, verse 41, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. He's diagnosed the problem. What's the solution? Verse 42, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. The solution, Martha, the solution is you need to be more like your sister Mary. Copy her. Well, verse 39, Mary has been having a moment of her own. Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Jesus thinks that the solution to Martha's anxious and troubled service is to be more like Mary. The solution is to listen to his teaching. He's saying, Martha, listen. Listen to me, Martha. Listen to me, Matt. And I will show you how much I care. Listen, and I'll show you that you are not serving alone. Listen, and I will show you the help that you have. Be like Mary and listen to my teaching. And don't we want to hear what he's got to say? I hate the troubled and the anxious service. I want the good portion. That's what I want. And so Jesus says, listen to my teaching. The following few chapters, up to the middle of chapter 13, this second block of teaching material gives us Jesus' teaching about the care that his servants receive. Let me just show you an example that I love from Luke chapter 12. No need to turn to it, but have a listen to this and you'll recognize it. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Jesus' teaching is the antidote to anxious and troubled service. It's the antidote for us. It is the good portion, and it starts in chapter 11 with the Lord's Prayer. Verse 1, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. So, fellow Marthas, let's now have a Mary moment and listen to what Jesus has to say. This week, we're going to just look at that first word, as I said, the who of prayer. And next time, we will look at the what of prayer. We'll get into the bulk of the Lord's Prayer. The who of prayer. Let me read verses 1 and 2. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father. When we pray, we should say, Father. When we pray, we are praying to the creator of the universe, the eternal God, the sovereign ruler, and Jesus wants us to address him as Father. He wants us to approach God in the same way that we might approach our earthly fathers. He wants us to think of relating to God in the same way that we would think of relating to our earthly fathers. Well, I think of my own dad and how almost always I could come to him and ask him for help, and he would love to give it and still does. And I think of my own son and how he comes to me and asks me for help, and oh, how I love to help him. Let me give you some examples. My little boy, he's 1.5, and he's learning to say his first words at the moment. And only a week or two ago, he learnt to say help. And so now, when he struggles to climb tall stairs, or when he falls over running, or when he wants to play with the pots and pans in the kitchen, he will say, help. He knows that he can come to me. He knows that he can ask his daddy for help. And I, because I love him, because he is my son, I will help. Another example. My first term at university, I ran out of money 2 weeks before the Christmas break. I had £20 to see me through. And I thought, well, I'm at university. I'm supposed to be a grown-up, independent man. I will survive. I'll make it through. And I'll be self-reliant. Well, after a week of eating plain rice, 2 meals a day, I gave up. Help! And sure enough, the money came through. Or another example. 2 summers ago, me and my wife and our six-month-old at that point, we were on our way traveling up to the Yorkshire Dales. We were driving up a hill. And our car, which was a little rackety, well, the exhaust of it, which had been making lots of racing noises the previous few weeks, it decided to jettison itself off the back. Well, the call went out, help, and an hour later, I was with my dad in the local garage getting it fixed. One more example, final one. When I was a teenager, me and my dad would run the PA for church, and we'd do the PA at the evening service. And if you've ever done the PA before, then you'll know that when it works, great, it works. And when it doesn't, it doesn't. And there would occasionally be those moments where it would just stop working, or it would go horribly wrong. And everyone would turn around and look, and the blood would go from my face, and I'd have this panic look about me, and I would turn to my dad, help. Well, I knew it would be all right. Dad's here. And there was a wonderful sense of relief. Whether it's help with the PA, a broken exhaust, practical tasks, money, mortgage advice, whatever it is, when the cry for help goes out, our fathers, in general, with all the necessary caveats, they come to our aid. That's what dads do. We're not alone. Well, in our busy and anxious service, we can come to the eternal, sovereign Creator God as a child to their Father, and we can say, help. You can start to see how this encourages Martha. Martha, I can see you're anxious about something, but it's all right. You can bring it to your Heavenly Father. Martha, I can see that you're troubled, but there's really no need to be. Come to God, your Heavenly Father. He'll be able to help you. Next time, as I said, we'll look at the what of the Lord's Prayer, what Jesus says we should come to our Father in heaven about, the things that God promises to answer and help us with. But for now, let us reshape our attitude when it comes to prayer. Are you feeling busy in your service? Well, come to your Father in heaven. Are you feeling troubled and anxious in your service? Approach the Creator of the universe in prayer. Are you blaming others? It's easy to do, isn't it, to look sideways and to complain that they're not pulling their weight. Well, know that God is your helper, and he's not left you alone. I think we must be quicker to approach our Father in heaven. I know I need to be. I think it's partly because I'm fickle and I quickly forget that I have a Father in heaven that I can pray to. And partly because I think that sometimes I don't think I can come to him for help. But that's not the attitude Jesus wants us to have. We should be like little children. We should learn to say, help. We should be dependent on God and quick to come to him. And isn't it wonderful that we can? Isn't it good to know that we have a heavenly Father who we can come to? On those busy church weekends away, running the children's work, this passage was a massive encouragement to me, knowing that I have a Father in heaven who I can come to. And I hope that the Lord's Prayer becomes a massive encouragement to you too. Perhaps you're in the midst of a Martha moment, or you can almost guarantee that one is coming up soon. Well, have a Mary moment. Remember Jesus' teaching. Remember you're not alone. Remember that you have a Father in heaven. So, let's not forget. Let's not delay. Let's say Father. And why don't we turn to do that now? Let me lead us in a prayer. Father God, we thank you so much that we can come to you in prayer. Father, we realize that sometimes we can get flustered and anxious and troubled in our service of you, but would you help us to remember that we have a Father in heaven who loves us, who cares for us, who we can approach, and who will listen to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name.